This is Fresh Air. I'm Terry Gross. Now that the Middle East peace process has broken down, Palestinians and Israelis are not only disagreeing about the injustices of the past and what should happen in the future, they disagree about why the peace fell apart. Later we'll talk with two people who participated in peace talks, Palestinian Hanan Ashrawi and Israeli Uri Sevier, and ask them what it would take to resume negotiations. We'll start by examining what went wrong. In a few minutes, we'll talk with Israeli journalist David Horovitz. My first guest is Palestinian journalist Daoud Kutab. He's the director of the Institute of Modern Media at Al-Quds University in Jerusalem, and he directs an educational TV station. He's the co-executive producer of an Israeli-Palestinian version of Sesame Street and the former managing editor of an English-language weekly. Israelis have accused Arafat of not attempting to stop Palestinian violence. Palestinians say the Israeli army has overreacted in its use of force. I ask Kutab what he thinks.
Well, I think we have two problems here. We have a problem which most people don't understand, is that Palestinians are rebelling, are revolting against a foreign military occupation on their own land. So the protests are taking place in the Palestinian areas, not in Israel, and they're against the Israeli occupying army, not against the State of Israel. And by international law, people have a right to rebel and to resist occupation. Now, for 7 years, Palestinians have been promised to ask to keep quiet, to keep their heads low, because there is a peace process. They have seen no concrete results of the peace process. Their economic situation hasn't improved. Their freedom of movement hasn't changed. And what was offered, finally, in a permanent status agreement was not up to the standards and expectations of Palestinians. So there is frustration. On the other hand, when Palestinians protested with stones and threw empty bottles and so on, Israel reacted very violently, which caused the cycle of violence to be kicked up more, and every time Palestinians were killed on their own land, defending their own land, there was more protest, and the protest caused more killings, and the cycle of violence intensified. So the Israelis never used batons, they never used shields, they never used the normal gear that most people do to kind of to quell the protest. Instead, they used live ammunition, rubber-coated metal bullets, and later they started shelling and using helicopters and tanks to shell civilian populations. So it's not just me, but the Security Council, the European Union, and Amnesty International have all said that Israel has used excessive force in trying to respond to the Palestinian protests.
Do you know any of the young people who have been throwing rocks at the Israeli military?
I did a profile a while back. It's called The Profile of a Palestinian Stone Thrower. You know, they are young people who have basically been born in times of occupation. And these guys today, you know, some of them were young kids when the first Intifada began. So they are people who, like all young people, have lots of hopes in their mind, but they have been living, some of them, since they were born. They haven't been able to leave their own town because of the closures, because of the bans on movement. And they have lots of pent-up anger and frustration. And it all comes out in these protests. And things get worse when some of their buddies get killed or injured, and they get even more angry. So the frustration is the big problem here, the lack of feeling that the peace process is going to produce any concrete results. They are unable to really fathom the way the Israelis are humiliating the Palestinians. And again, the biggest problem is the continued killings, because when one is killed, then there is a funeral for him, and there is, you know, more anger, and the cycle gets worse and worse.
You were once detained at the Palestinian Authority police station that was bombed by the Israelis after the murder of two Israeli soldiers. What were you detained for?
I run an educational television station which was broadcasting live sessions of the Palestinian Legislative Council. And there were some very hotly debated sessions dealing with corruption in the Palestinian Authority. And the broadcast of these sessions displeased some people in the Palestinian Authority, and they held me for 7 days, and afterwards I was released without being charged or even questioned about it. That's what happened.
How did that affect your feelings about the Palestinian Authority's approach to?
I'm not naive in considering the Palestinian Authority to be dressed in white and, you know, angels from heaven. I do understand that they have different priorities than I have. Their priority, as they stated, is more the political process and the independence, and they feel that issues of democracy should really take second fiddle. At the time, I felt that that was not my priorities, and I felt that we needed to really build the proper foundations for a Palestinian state, and therefore there had to be more democratic and more free, and that's why we did what we did, and we continue to do what we did even after I was released. Until this day, we continue to broadcast sessions of the Palestinian Legislative Council. We hold very hotly debated topics in roundtable programs, and we allow callers to call in, and they say often many things that are not very pleasing to the Palestinian Authority. So it's a commitment that I'm strongly holding on to and I believe in. And in the same tone, I believe very much in the right of Palestinians to have an independent state. So I would say at this very moment, the issue of the conflict with Israelis is taking priorities, but our commitment hasn't wavered, and we continue to believe in the fact that we need the rule of law and democracy and separation of powers.
You're the co-producer of a Palestinian-Israeli version of Sesame Street. What's the idea behind this show?
Again, the show that we produced really took off after the beginning of the peace process, and our aim was and still is to really plant with children the concepts of tolerance and mutual respect, and to stop the dehumanizing process that exists today between Palestinian children towards Israelis and vice versa. And so we try to present to our children a different version of what Israelis are like, and also in Israel to show them Palestinians different than what their stereotype is. And we ran a season of shows, and they were successful in the sense that studies showed that they did help in starting to change perceptions. The road was and still is very long, and unfortunately the power of guns and violence speak much louder than the movements of puppets on television. And so I'm really concerned that that really we cannot do that type of a programming with violence going on outside, because that really drowns whatever words and sounds of peace there are.
So the program is still going on now?
Well, we did. We shot and broadcast a season. In fact, this week we were supposed to start negotiating another season with Jordanians and Israelis, but the violence has postponed all our meetings. So, yes, we did run a session, and we basically ran and filmed it and broadcast it. And we were hoping to do a new season.
You teach at a Palestinian university, Al-Quds University in East Jerusalem. Would you give us a sense of what kinds of discussions and debates are going on among your students now?
Unfortunately, the school year has never gone off to start. It hasn't started yet. We were supposed to start, the conflict, the protest, and the most important, the Israeli closures of the areas has forbidden students and teachers from entering. So we are really not able to conduct education. It's something that I think many of your viewers and listeners don't understand, is that we our whole life is taken upside down. People cannot go to work. People cannot come to university. And every day this process continues. It's not very pleasant. It's very, very difficult. But the frustration is so high, and the feeling of helplessness is so high that people just say, you know, forget it. Let's all go out and protest, because they're not allowing us to go and move and to conduct normal life. So there is really no more in the last month or so. Normal life hasn't existed.
How has your life been changed by the clashes between Israelis and Palestinians?
My life is changed for years, but mostly I'm fighting with my wife all the time because she's afraid for me, and I have to balance between her concerns and my responsibilities, and I'm also concerned about my staff and the people who go out and film, and I'm worried about, you know, hearing one day that one of my camera people get killed or something. So it's quite difficult position being an employer and being a husband and a father, because you have so much responsibilities.
Now, the TV station that you run is a university-based station, a student station?
Yes, it's an educational TV station from the university.
And is it operating now, or is it shut down?
It is operating. It hasn't been shut down.
What kind of program are you carrying?
We have actually recently changed a lot of our programming, as you can imagine. But two things that we've really tried to concentrate on very lately, which is to really do a lot more first aid training, because people who are being injured sometimes get killed because of the way that they are being kind of carried and dealt with on the spot. And we're doing now a lot more psychological programs for children, because there is a lot of trauma among our children when their homes are being shelled or when they're hearing gunfire. So we're bringing psychologists and so on to answer questions of parents and trying to put people at ease, or try to at least let them speak their mind so that they don't, because it's very, very difficult, the emotional status of adults and children. It's really scary, and we've tried to help with that by doing programs with experts who can kind of explain to parents and how to deal with such cases.
Would you like to see Palestinians and Israelis go back to the negotiating table and work on a peace agreement again?
I think every sane Palestinian and Israeli want negotiations to take place. The shooting and bombings and stone throwing and being killed is certainly not something that anybody wishes. But I do wish that when the negotiations return, they are returned on the basis of attempting to find realistic solutions, respecting each other, and not trying to use the weight of power as the basic rule. And instead of might being right, we hope that right becomes might. And we have been humiliated so much in the negotiations, because Israelis basically say, we are negotiating with each other. And they come to the table and basically make an offer, and it's a take it or leave it offer. They don't really negotiate in good faith, in the sense that they give and take. They only come and they say, this is the best we can give you, and we are the powerful side, and you better take it, or else, you know, you'll continue to be under occupation. And there is enough pride in Palestinians to say sometimes no, and that really angers Israelis. They say that Palestinians are not being understanding of Israeli generosity. It's just this returning land that was taken by force in an illegal way is a kind of a charity to the Palestinians. So I think the perceptions, the way negotiations have taken place has to change, and I think we really need to have much more respect of each other for the negotiations to work.
Well, I want to thank you very much for talking with us.
Thank you, Terry.
Daoud Kutab directs the Institute of Modern Media at Al-Quds University in Jerusalem. He spoke to us from Amman, Jordan. Coming up, Israeli journalist David Horovitz, editor of the Jerusalem Report. This is Fresh Air.